This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, and I'm discussing an article published by Jonathan Marshall. The author is Kevin Coogan, COOGAN, the men behind the Counter-Reformation. There's one other name that I forgot to share with you that is in this article, a member of the Sovereign Military Knights of Malta, and that's John McCone. He was CIA director at the time John Kennedy was assassinated, and assisted the Warren Commission to conceal the Nazi connections to the Kennedy assassination. And then he was working for ITT at the time Allende was murdered. And now he's working for Bechtel Corporation along with Caspar Weinberger and the warmongers who can't get enough instruments for war that have been continuing since 1946-47, getting ready for this World War III. Now, this article is particularly important, and I want to mention the importance in light of some of the things that I have said and have not said on these broadcasts for a long time. And whenever there's elections coming up or discussions on who runs the world, people say, what do you think of the Council of Foreign Relations? What do you think of the Trilateral Committee? Why don't you talk about the Trilateral? And those of you who have subscribed to these tapes and know me know that I have done very little on the Trilateral or the Council of Foreign Relations, because my answer has always been very pat to these people. Why are you worried about Nelson and David Rockefeller and not about the Hoover Institute and not about Reinhard Gehlen and not about Project Paperclip? And where do the Nazis fit into this? And also, if there is a one world and Odessa is part of that one world, Hitler's organization, if Hitler wanted a thousand-year Reich, why aren't you addressing yourself to two power groups, you know, struggling for the same thing? Now, they keep acting as if Nelson Rockefeller still wants to control the world, and he's been in his coffin a while. In fact, three of the Rockefeller brothers have had a early demise. And the idea of turning the world to the KGB or the communists is part of this attack against the Protestant groups by the very strong military Catholics to break down the English Protestant tradition. Lyndon LaRoche, as I say, who works with these people from Solidarity, always is saying the British are taking over, the British control the world is going, communist, and the British want to control us. What they're trying to do is to break down the Protestantism of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. Not that they're perfect, not that the banks didn't even put in Adolf Hitler. They did, and Alan Dulles worked for them. But Alan Dulles is dead, and John Foster Dulles is dead, and so is Nelson Rockefeller. And this gang that have been running the military branch for 1,000 years are very much alive. They're well-financed, and when you read this list, like William and James Buckley and William Casey and James Angleton and Mr. Iacocca and Reinhard Gehlen, he's passed, but all of his agents are around, and Vernon Walters and John McCone, they're all in power today. They're making all the decisions today, and they're making the decisions of where we're going to die and when we're going to die and how we die and how we're going to pay for it and how we're going to have to sacrifice for this war. This is a holy war. I referred to the way Haig describes himself as the vicar of Washington with his Jesuit priest brother. He pictured him on Time magazine when Reagan was shot as the vicar of Washington. He refers to himself as that. And their crusade to have a war against Russia is a holy war. Russia has thrown the church out for all purposes, and this is a crusade. And they will use every country and every area where people are striving to exist and take care of their needs in order to make that war against Russia. They're hell-bent on it. And that's why I've never really sided with those people attacking the Eastern Seaboard organizations as being the sum total of the problem. The problem goes deeper, and it certainly has to do with the members of the military branch of the Vatican who are running the United States today. Now, I'll refer to a few specifics of this article, and as I say, it may take 1 or 2 weeks to share with you, but it's so important, and he mentions these various names. James Angleton was taken into this organization, which existed long before World War 1 and 2. It went on, as I say, for 1,000 years. But as soon as the war was over, we incorporated Hitler's SS band, the Gestapo, into our government and began the intelligence service. It was to become the CIA. So the war was over May 8, 1945, and December the 27th, 1946, James Angleton, who had so much to do with the Middle East and the Palestine and Vatican, became a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, and he was awarded a high honor, one of the highest honors that they had, for whatever he had done, and I know what he did, during World War II. So Angleton, after the OSS, and working with Hitler's intelligence and William Donovan, Wild Bill Donovan, became a high CIA official, and he was the person that recommended that the United States tax dollar be sent to Luigi Guetta for Catholic action. James Angleton headed the Vatican desk. Now, it's Mr. Guetta who recently, G-E-D-D-A, Luigi Guetta, he's the one who recently was talking about the need for a tightening up the liberalism of the church and getting the Protestant system leads to dictatorships such as the communists. He is violently anti-communist, and it was Angleton who wanted tax dollars to fund his publication or group called Catholic Action. This was 1946 when James Angleton was brought into the group. Reinhard Gehlen, November 17, 1948, 2 years later, became a member of the Knight of Malta, and he got the highest award in preparation for setting up the Cold War, I suppose, with Senator Joe McCarthy and dividing the Americans against each other. He was head of Hitler's intelligence, chief of the Eastern Division, and described as a linchpin of the Allen Dulles CIA connections. When the CIA was formed, and he was in the Pentagon, of course, within months when the war was over, and working with Allen Dulles. Now, the year that he got this award, 1948, the Nazis were getting together, being ready to be released in the jails in Europe and to get out. Otto Skorzeny soon would be out to set up the Odessa. Reinhard Gehlen's brother is a member of this organization. He was secretary to the head of the state of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the brother of Reinhard Gehlen. His alias is Count Thun, T-H-U-N-H-E-H-E-N-S-T-E-I-N. I can't pronounce that. He has a German name. The code name is Don Giovanni, the Italian name, based in Rome. This is the brother of Reinhard Gehlen, secretary to the head of the state of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. William F. Buckley, he describes in this article, wearing black capes, white Maltese crosses and swords, swore the oath to defend the Holy Mother Church. Now, these people are American public officials used for public broadcasting, the firing line, and writing many books. In fact, William Buckley wrote a book on the Beatles in 1968. He seemed to be an expert on the Beatles. Buckley gets in his black cape and gets inaugurated into this organization. James Buckley, his brother, is high up in the National Security Council. And as I say, they're closely affiliated with the Georgetown Institute, the Strategic Studies, Richard Allen, was to be joining and funding after his 2 years in Germany. William Clark, the National Security Advisor, he is written up in this article as a right-wing Catholic. He was appointed by Ronald Reagan to the Supreme Court in California earlier. He wasn't a lawyer. He was the first non-lawyer, I believe, to the California Supreme Court. And February the 5th, 1980, in New Statesman, there was an article on Clark, the master of double cross, and it said Clark is a fervent conservative Catholic in the traditional mold. The master of double cross by Mary McGrory, that was in 1980. And General Walters, the brains behind the 1964 coup in Brazil, the details of his role, some of it is in the book Secret Missions, his devout Catholicism. And as I say, in 1964, after the coup in Brazil, the organization came out for religion and family, that moral group that I mentioned, several weeks ago on this program that Surface is now in Argentina, the same organization, both set up, I suppose, by Vernon Walters and the CIA in the Vatican. They have the same literature and the same name, and he was down in Brazil. And, of course, down in Brazil, a little while later, would come Jim Jones and his gang, affiliated in Belo Horizonte with the CIA. Alexander Haig's brother is a close link to this group, the Georgetown group, the Center for Strategic Studies. And out of there comes Jean Kirkpatrick, who is having a fight with Alexander Haig now because she's so pro-Argentinian and anti-British, and they're having open fights, and Haig is trying to do a balancing act because he plays both roles. NATO chief with his NATO alliances to Licio Gelli, caught in that scandal, that Vatican P2 scandal in Italy in May 1981, when that scandal was just breaking down, was the time when the Pope was shot. And of course, he has strong links to Michael Sindona and Pope Paul VI, Montini. So I said at the time that one of the motives for shooting him might have been his links to them and to silence them because of that scandal that was breaking in Italy. The strategy, the church strategy, is planned at Georgetown at the Center for Strategic Studies, and they have total control of Ronald Reagan and his foreign policy. The Knights of Malta is described in this article as a war-making machine. They are seriously prepared for the brinkmanship game. Part of the structure is the notion of a holy crusade for the Catholic order. That's why I mentioned earlier on this broadcast that William P. Clark, part of the military branch of the Knights of Malta, is head of our National Security Council. And I pose the question, is it national security that we are fighting for? Do we have to arm China to keep the Soviet Union busy with the borders tied down, as we said, they said today? Do we have to have the space exploited for American military needs? Do we have to have warships over in the Persian Gulf? Or do we have to attack and strike again Vietnam, North Korea, and Cuba, and these various countries? William Clark is our national security advisor as of just today, this week, May 30th, 1982. He has his strategy for a lengthy war. We're going into maybe a 100-year war, and people think, well, if we have a war, the bomb will drop everybody fast, and that will be it. It didn't happen that way before, and it won't happen that way again. There will be a lot of pain in a lot of places. And the desire for war is published in book after book. As I say, Father Walsh from Georgetown, 1947, with Harry Truman planning World War III. That was 1947. This is 1982. Mr. Clark from the same military arm of the Vatican planning the war, still spreading it out. The book relays the story Stephen Birmingham wrote about the Knights of Malta, and I'll do more later in case you don't have that book, about the Boston members of the Knights of Malta and the war-making machine. They wanted a hot war and a cold war going at the same time, and Senator Joe McCarthy was the perfect person for witch hunting in the United States. The man behind him, that Walsh, Father Walsh, was the one who directed him. He briefed him, Joe McCarthy, and launched his career in 1946. And he also helped J. Edgar Hoover, who was working with Interpol and the Nazis in Germany. Father Walsh was the man behind J. Edgar Hoover. And we know what kind of a holy war against so-called communists were going in this on this country. Now, he was the one, as a member of the Sovereign Order, the military order, that was feeding him stories of communists in the State Department. They came right out of Georgetown University and right out of the Vatican to J. Edgar Hoover. And Father Walsh, being a violent anti-communist, went to Germany and debriefed a certain Major General Karl Haushofer, Haushofer, known as the world's best-known geopolitician. Now, Germany lost the war, and they couldn't figure out things except for mass slaughters and deaths, how to get their act together, but he was still the greatest. So Father Walsh goes to debrief him. It's interesting, Henry Kissinger is over there in the Bulge and then debriefing the SS Gestapo and the Skorzeny team And then Father Walsh, a violent anti-communist, goes to debrief this Major General Karl Haushofer. General Haushofer, this great geopolitician, had a lot to say to Father Walsh from Georgetown. And then he comes home and funds Joe McCarthy, who then gets the top Nazis out of the prison in Dachau, who were supposed to be in there for life or get death sentence. So we have the debriefings going on by German Henry Kissinger, who's brought back via Fritz Kramer after World War II, and then we have Father Walsh over there too. Debriefing Nazis, can you imagine what a riot that was with these guys, Kissinger and Walsh, because Kissinger was the head of our National Security Council, bloodbath in Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, and I keep saying the Middle East, and spreading his virus. You know, even the Allende murder that he ordered for ITT and the CIA, and if you see the movie Missing, it mentions Henry Kissinger and it mentions Nazis in that movie. And this gang were over there, in quotes, debriefing these Nazis and then coming back, I guess, with plenty to set up their organizations and getting ready for our government's Cold War that took place. Father Walsh was, as I say, the genius behind feeding the State Department and J. Edgar Hoover, and the damage that J. Edgar Hoover did just goes on and on. Now, their pet organization that they always wanted to attack, the Georgetown Institute, their policy studies, they would go after the other think tank in Washington called the Institute for Policy Studies. The Georgetown group would go after them and call them KGB and link them to communists like they linked the Protestant Nelson Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, to the KGB all the time. The Institute of Policy Studies was supposed to be KGB, and this was the Atlantic faction. This was the American and British intelligence group. The Vatican and the Italian members of our administration, the military order, the Vatican Army, have been fighting the American and British intelligence. And that makes sense if you realize how much they attack the British and how much they attack particularly the think tanks of the Northeast. Very often people have described a cowboy Indian war or broke the United States up into geographic areas. Kirkpatrick did this. Kirkpatrick Sales did a book on that. I have it, I forget the title of it, was on the Cowboys and Yankees, Cowboys and Indians. It isn't that simple. Maybe the real story should be broken down into the Vatican versus the Anglican, because this anti-Reformation thing is going on in speeches that the anti-war people are part of the Protestant group. This is coming out right now in the Los Angeles Times very openly. And if everybody making policy in Washington for the past 15 years or 20 years, like John McCone and Vernon Walters and William Casey, they're all in power now, and William Buckley and James Angleton, and they all go back to Lee and Marina Oswald, to George Bornshield, to the murder of Kennedy, to put Richard Nixon in office, who was instrumental in bringing Nazis to this country. It may be more than just an east-west, north-south. It obviously and always was something different. And I never fell for that either. I never fell for the simplistic explanation of certain institutions as against others that were appearing everywhere in my studies. And this one article that just came out by Kevin Coogan that Jonathan Marshall got out in his newsletter makes more sense by identifying who belongs to this group and who's made our policy before World War II was over, started making the policy actually in 1943 with the OSS and the SS. That's Hitler's Gestapo and Mr. Wolf sitting in Bern, Switzerland with Alan Dulles. And he had the American intelligence set up by Winston Churchill during the war and Hitler's intelligence simultaneously, and all linked to the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the military branch of the Vatican. This group, the Galen group, hated the British intelligence. They hated them even though they brought them to this country. They were more with the Americans than the British. And the book, The Bormann Brotherhood, William Stevenson describes how Galen hated Willy Brandt and the German socialists hated socialists all along. The division of the people running this country today makes more sense if you break it into Protestant versus the Catholic versus the Protestant than, as I say, you do geographical or areas or any other way. Now, Galen is instrumental in setting his agents all over the world, and Galen is honored by this organization as soon as the war is over as a part of a church approval. He is incorporated into the military arm of the Vatican Church. I mean, nothing that happened in Italy or Germany or Belgium or France matters, or Russia. All these deaths, and Galen had planned immediately after the war, and I keep quoting over and over my favorite sentence in his book, the book that Kukrich wrote on him, how immediately he was going to starve 40 million or 50 million and make the other 40 million, I don't remember which the proportion was, I should know it by now, make them into slave labor. Galen was embraced for this, and this is where we're heading when you see 20 or 30 million starving in Africa in these drought areas. They're being eliminated. That's what Galen wanted, and that's what we're getting. And incidentally, J. Peter Grace, a member of this sovereign military group, was the founder of the Freedom from Hunger organization. And I don't want to get too far afield, but I looked up Werner Erhard, Mr. Rosenberg, who gave himself two German names, and he began his Est group in San Francisco with money from a woman, an organization from Georgetown University, and another one from Holland, where the Bilderberger was set up by the Knights of Malta. So the people behind Werner Erhard, J. Peter Grace with his genocidal policies, Reinhard Galen with his genocidal policies, were embraced by what you call a church. Well, should a church have a religious function or a military function? And will they bring us on to 100 years war? Will they bring us into a war that just completely destroys the world? Are you ready for this? Are you, if you're a Catholic, do you like it? If you're a Protestant, what do you think of this? What do you think about this article on the Reformation and the role that the Vatican has in Ronald Reagan's administration? What do you think? I think it's terrible. Now, this article says that there's a real power struggle going on with the Vatican versus the Protestant. And he describes the home base at Georgetown Institute. Now, a book was just put out, and it's available. Tom Davis has it at Research up in Capitola, box 1107, in Aptos, rather, California. I'll put the address on the sheet again. Professor Carol Quigley has written a book called Tragedy and Hope, where he attacks the British Roundtable and the Council of Foreign Relations. Well, Quigley was a member of the Birch Society, and he's part of the Catholic right, the extreme Catholic right. And again, Mr. H.L. Hunt and Warren Carroll of the CIA were involved in the death of John Kennedy and Jack Ruby's contacts with them and the Republic National Bank and the Young Americans for Freedom in that area that were brought by William Buckley from Germany down to Dallas. The names I'm mentioning are not removed from the period that I studied long time ago, starting over 17 years ago, on who killed John Kennedy. There's another book that I'll put on the sheet for you in case you're interested in getting it, called The Knights Templar by Stephen Howarth. Athenian Press just printed it. I haven't read it yet. It's on the Knights of Malta. But Mr. Quigley's book, Carol Quigley's book, The Anglo-American Establishment, The Conspiracy from Rhodes, at Cecil Rhodes to Cliveden, is published by Books in Focus. Now, they're attacking the British system, see, and it's coming out of the military group of the Vatican that is publishing this to break down the British and make you mistrust them, while the Vatican wants, as I say, this holy war. Now, in 1940s, in middle 1940s or late 1940s, when the war was over, there was the start of what they called an ecumenical movement to combine the Anglican Church with the Catholic Church, except, as it said in the newspaper this week, what the Pope wants is a joint Catholic-Anglican commission. But they want papal infallibility and papal claim to primacy over all Christians. And so when the war was over in the late 40s, a man named Joseph Bittinger, B-I-T-T-I-N-G-E-R, founded the Bilderberger Group. This was to combine and then take them over. Then the Catholics would take them over. And Prince Bernhard of IG Farben and Hitler's SS Youth Group, who, in quotes, headed the Dutch resistance during the war and became the titular head and the head of this group, the Bilderberger Society. It was founded by a member of the military branch of the Vatican, Mr. Joseph Bettinger. He was in direct contact, Bettinger, with Luigi Jetta, the first man that I quoted on the beginning of this tape, when they were ordained in Knights of Malta. So this Bettinger was very important as a military member of the Vatican, and then selected Prince Bernhard to head up the Bilderbergers, and that's where I said several weeks ago they meet annually to decide who will get a piece of the pie and who will survive and where will the world leaders be and how can they hold the resources and the labor of the world in their hands. Now, this is not a nice group. These people will kill John Kennedy or Robert Kennedy or Salvador Allende. They'll kill other Catholics because this is a far fascist group. It's distinguished from the people, as I say, going about doing their things or trying to make social improvement. They'll kill them right away. There's a book called Memoirs of an Eminence Gris, G-R-I-S-E, by John Pomian, P-O-M-I-A-N. And it tells how Mr. Bettinger was in direct contact with Mr. Goethe when Goethe was getting his Knights of Malta Award in the late 1940s, and the role of the Vatican Church in setting up the Bilderberger Group. Now, this group was directly linked to IG Farben, to Hitler, to the betrayal at Arnhem that stalled the war so that they could get their money out and begin refurbishing the 1,000-year Reich. Prince Bernhard was linked to $1 million payoff from Lockheed Corporation, married to Queen Juliana. She only had $600 million, so he needed $1 million more for his own little gaieties. I think we won't go into the details taking place in Paris. But the Bilderberg Foundation, it was founded and started by Joseph Bettinger. And it began including Protestants and Catholics as ecumenical order created by a Baron Brankovan, B-R-A-N-C-O-V-A-N, a relative of an exiled king of Yugoslavia. And they received direct support of Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, and the group incorporated in the Netherlands and began this organization. It meets every year. When Gerald Ford was on the Warren Commission to investigate who killed John Kennedy, while he was actually covering up who killed the President of the United States, he was attending a Bilderberg meeting in Washington in 1964. He has the nerve to go to this international group made up of the top level of the Anglican and the Vatican and Prince Bernhard when he returns back to the investigations to conceal all the Nazi and interlocking links of Angleton and Galen agents that killed John Kennedy. I always said many, many times on these tapes and radio broadcasts for years, until you get to the evidence in the Torbett document that came out in 1970, until you get the Reinhardt-Galen connections, you will never have the story of who killed John Kennedy. And many of the people whose names I mentioned tonight either were part of the murder or part of the cover-up, worked directly with the agents, and covered this up. So that is how the Bilderberg got started. I'll do more next week. I have a lot on this organization, and it's terribly important. And the article that I've been speaking about this evening is The Men Behind the Counter-Reformation by Kevin Coogan. I will take more sections of that article. As I say, the article is only 4.5 pages, a short story with 2 pages of references. But every sentence gets more important as to what is happening today in the news, the stories of the war, the stories of the Pope's trips, the information about J. Peter Grace, and I'll do a lot of maybe the whole tape next week on the J. Peter Grace activities that are described just in this article. But I don't want to go too fast because He's hit upon something very basic about who is running our government, and is this a holy war? Are we going to get like the Crusade and Inquisition? And the Inquisition wasn't very nice, okay? Are we going to get into a holy war? Is that where Ronald Reagan is leading us, and is he directed by the military branch of the Vatican? In the meantime, this is May.